This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about finding love. Lots of dating experts warn against immediate fireworks, and they say soulmates aren't real. But still, there's something so romantic about the idea of a spark, an instant connection that's just meant to be. Grant Hill has this story of two lonely strangers brought together by chance.
In 2018, Michael from New Jersey was about to finish up college and hating life.
I was pretty miserable, to be honest with you. I was like in a really bad place mentally.
He had a punk band, a mild bout of depression, and a girlfriend he was less than thrilled with.
I was at the tail end of a really long high school relationship that was sort of dead 4 years prior to this point. I thought that that's what love was. Like, you stick with the person forever, even if you're miserable and they're miserable and you're both miserable, and you get married, and then that's marriage.
One night, he drove back home from band practice and settled into his childhood bedroom.
And just had this thought that I was really lonely that night. And I remembered that back in high school, I used to go on this website called Omegle, which is like a chat roulette website.
Chat roulette, a video call with a random stranger on the other end.
I don't know how much I can say about what is on that, but it is usually like just...
You get the picture. Live camera feeds and people with nothing to do. That's not exactly what Michael was looking for. Logging on still made him feel bad because of his girlfriend. But he was bored and lonely.
And this particular night felt like, okay, I'm going to just go on there. And I did.
And there she was.
I hadn't really gone on Omegle too much since high school, but I was feeling lonely that night.
Chloe, a nurse from Iowa.
I was just finished a shift at the hospital that I was working at. Came home. Looked at Omegle and I was like, let me just see if there's any weird guys with facial piercings who want to tell me about their band and the fact that they lived in London. I don't know. Because they can be anywhere. That's like the appeal.
But she did not see any piercings on her screen. She didn't see a face at all.
It feels like a grimy place to be. And so I was like, I don't want my face on this website. And so I had just my sweatshirt in frame.
When we connected, It was just his sweatshirt, and it was like a cute scene from the New Jersey Pinelands. We started typing. There was no audio. It was all just typing to each other. So it was totally silent, and we were typing, and it just said, stranger is typing. And he just typed, hey. And I think I just said, hey, what's up? Why are you not showing your face? This is really weird that I'm looking at your torso. I'd love to see your face. And I think it took some convincing.
But eventually, the stranger raised his camera.
And I instantly was like, this is the only person I want to talk to tonight. I know whoever is on the other side of this also is here for whatever this is. And we kept referring to whatever our connection was as this. This in parentheses. This.
I saw somebody that I had seen before, it felt like. I felt like an instant familiarity with her, and I was so intrigued by that because I also knew that there's no way I knew who this person was, but something in my body was like, I know this person.
And we shared maybe a little bit about our lives, not too much, I don't think. We were really not talking about situations and circumstances, more like ideas and philosophies of life and, I don't know, greater picture things, which I felt like I had never had that type of conversation with somebody so quickly. Usually that takes like years to get to beyond just surface level stuff.
Michael and Chloe talked and talked, falling deeper and deeper into whatever this was.
The night that we met on Omegle typing, I said, I can see myself falling in love with you. To a stranger, to a random guy.
5 hours later, in the early morning, Michael revealed his real name to Chloe. He was an artist from the East Coast. He shared a link to his website. And Chloe went to work the next day, floating.
I'm telling people at work, like, listen, I met somebody on Omegle, and he's my soulmate. And I've never believed in soulmates, A. And B, I don't even know who he is, but he's definitely my soulmate. And I just found his Instagram. Do you think I should message him? And one of my friends at work was like, you have to send him a message and just say, like, nice to meet you. Too bad we can never get married.
Chloe had a husband. She had tied the knot not too long before. He needed health insurance, and she had good coverage. And that turned out to be about the extent of the arrangement.
Like, literally minutes after we got married, he's like, I think I'm polyamorous, and I think I want to have an open marriage. And I was like, this is not exactly what I signed up for, but I married you, so I will be supportive, and that's what we'll try to do. So he knew what I was doing.
But Michael didn't know until Chloe followed her friend's advice and messaged him that day.
Like, listen, I'm married, and it's a shame that I'll never be your wife because you're somebody that I would easily have a relationship with, and it would be like everything. And he was like, man, that is really unfortunate. I still have the text messages. It's like, man, that really does suck that you're married because you're such a wonderful person and I can see us getting married and having a life together. And then we just never stopped talking.
Michael wasn't sure if he could ever really be with Chloe, but he knew how he felt about her and that either way, he should probably end things with his girlfriend.
I just knew, like, this needs to be done for real.
Michael thought he had to meet Chloe in person at least once. So together, they made a plan.
We were going to meet in the exact halfway point between New Jersey and Iowa, and that happened to be Toledo, Ohio.
Neither had ever been before, but something about that felt appropriate. They set a date and booked an Airbnb, and soon that day had come. Michael was going to book a plane, Chloe was driving there, and it was 3 hours into that six-hour drive when she got a call.
Hey, I just wanted to talk, and I don't want to leave you, like, crying.
I backed out.
Orna Goralnik is a clinical psychologist and psychoanalyst who helps couples work through relationship issues on the Showtime docuseries Couples Therapy.
People harbor inside themselves all sorts of nascent, mostly unconscious fantasies about what their life is supposed to be, what love is supposed to be, happiness, something at the end of the rainbow. They're like these deeply held fantasies that are mostly like not accessible. And then something happens and it kind of pings the fantasy and the fantasy kind of surfaces.
A fleeting moment with a stranger leaves you under a spell. But really, the spell is a trick you play on yourself. A kind of trapdoor out of your lonesome, chaotic reality into a world built entirely inside your mind.
So it can be a defensive maneuver that gets in the way of actually dealing with the anxiety of meeting what's really outside of you. If you're in your fantasy world in a certain way, you're always in control.
Michael feared his own fantasy had swallowed him whole.
I was scared. I was miserable during that time. And part of me felt like this could just all be you going crazy. You're about to graduate college. You had a perfect life, and you're messing it all up for someone who's married. Like, this might just be what it is. You guys meet in Toledo, and then what?
Like, I hope you understand why. Like, I just hope you understand. And I'm really sorry. And just give me a call when you get this. All right, bye.
But Orna says that's the thing about falling in love.
Sometimes people really pick up on something that really matters.
Everything is a fantasy until it's not.
They see something for real in another person and they look for them and then something great happens.
Sometimes that spark is real.
It's not all make-believe.
L-O-O-N. Can you sound that out?
Try it.
Loon.
Loon.
I was so mad at him. I was furious. I was ready to delete your phone number, block you from my phone, never talk to you again. I remember as soon as I turned the car around, when he told me he wasn't coming, it literally started raining and I had to pull over. In such a way that I was like, this has to be a movie. This has to be fake.
Chloe called Michael back and he apologized for bailing on her and she forgave him. To make up for it, Michael booked Chloe a round-trip plane ticket to New Jersey.
As soon as we met in person, two things were obvious to me. His head was gigantic. And two, he was my soulmate. And I had him forever. I knew that it was a thing. There was no doubt in my mind, like, that was what I was going to do as soon as I met him in person.
It wasn't long before she packed up her stuff in Iowa and moved east for good.
We met online in May, then we met in person in June, and then I moved to New Jersey in September.
She even had some help from her now ex-husband.
He loaded my favorite recliner into the back of my car. He sold the whole house. He mailed me the divorce papers and sent me all my money. He was like, I wish you the best. He was literally so unsad to see me go.
Oh, Luna, remember it's that guy
today, Michael and Chloe have a 4-year-old daughter, a brand new house.
If you're feeling something, you need to go after it.
Mm-hmm. We need to, follow our hearts more often because it can lead you to a really beautiful life.
And no plans on ever visiting Toledo.
That story was reported by Grant Hill.